Hello and welcome to The Laydown, Gibson's Bookstore podcast. I'm Ryan, my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Joe, my pronouns are they, them.
And yay! Hi, it's June, it's Pride, what's up?
Yeah, May was kind of wild for both of us.
We got away from us a little bit.
We were both on trips and had birthdays and all of the things, so... We're doing this little, like,
You get, like, bonus two episodes in June, because June is the best month.
Even though
May is our birthday month.
Yeah. I mean, weather-wise, I prefer May, but, you know, the gay month is going to be a favorite.
Yeah. So I went to London.
Yeah, you did.
For a week. I didn't bring home any books.
Shocking. I know.
I didn't go to as many bookstores as I thought I was going to. I really had it in my head that I was going to be visiting bookstores, like, every second of every day. And it turns out London has a lot to do.
There's a lot going on. And the bookstores are kind of all over the place.
Yeah. So I did go to Daunt Books.
I love Daunt. It's so cute.
It's pretty.
It's so pretty. And, like, has that section that's organized by location, which is really cool. Really
their
fun.
Their whole international section. It's, like, all the different countries, and there's books set in that area by authors from that area. It's very cool. It's very Instagrammable. It's beautiful.
It's it's the Marylebone High Street location. Yeah. Has a, like, little, I don't know what you call that, balcony.
It's like a balcony.
And then it has...
like beautiful windows. Giant windows.
Yeah,
it's very, very pretty. So I went there and I looked to see if there were any cool UK covers of books that I love, but they only had like two horror novels. So I did not bring home any books, but I did bring several books to London.
Yeah.
Because I got to visit my friend Mark of the Jack of All Graves podcast.
Fun.
Shout out to Joag, our buddies over there. And so I brought him two tote bags full of books.
Awesome. Fantastic.
We met at a cafe that was Princess Diana themed.
I love that.
It was amazing.
Wild.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was, and it wasn't like kitschy. Like I thought it was going to be like very like kitschy. It was this really amazing little cafe with an incredible, like, I want to say like Egyptian food, maybe. I might have that wrong, but it was really, really good food.
Interesting.
And they just had portraits of Diana all over the walls. And there was this one photograph of Diana with the cafe owners, like in the cafe.
Oh.
And I'm going to guesstimate that it was printed and framed somewhere around 37 times throughout the cafe, so that no matter where you were sitting in the cafe, you could see this
photo. Incredible.
It was great. The owner was adorable. Very, very sweet guy. Very, like, excited to see our big group of people.
Oh.
London was great. We stayed at a hotel facing the Tower of London.
Love that.
I got to, like, wake up to the Tower of London every morning.
Love the tower.
Incredible. Like,
incredible.
Oh, my God.
The tours there, the ravens, the everything.
Ravens.
Oh.
Yeah.
I miss it.
It was amazing. It was my first time in London, and it will not be my last time in London, because it was... amazing. I couldn't get over how good it smelled.
It does.
For a city. I mean, it was like crisp, fresh air in a city. And I have to imagine it's because, like, there aren't as many skyscrapers, and so you actually get, like, air filtration.
Yeah. It is amazing, too, because I believe Oxford Street is the most polluted street, like, in the world, or it was at one point.
Okay.
Like, London has always had a smog problem, but it does, and their underground stations are so much cleaner.
Oh my god,
yours.
They were so clean.
It's sometimes a little embarrassing
to be like, it was crazy.
It's interesting. Yeah, and I went to the dirty and disgusting New York City
which
I also love, and it was not by any means my first time, but it was, and I didn't get any books. I just hung out, you know, did brunch, all of the fun things, went to the Stonewall on my birthday.
Amazing.
Which, you know,
the best.
We were walking by it, and my friend was like, do you want to go in? And I was like, maybe.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was a really good time. But yeah.
So yeah, so because of our back-to-back trips, we did not have time to record a May episode.
I mean,
so
we barely saw each other in May.
I think I saw you like twice in the entire month of May. So what we're going to do this time, this is not going to be our like main Pride episode. Yeah. That will be at the end of the month, per usual. This is just going to be a catch-up episode where we just kind of catch up on all the stuff we read in since the last time we recorded, because it's a lot. That way our Pride episode won't be 4 hours long.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Maybe. It might be. We have some guests, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
But we'll try.
Okay, so let's see. What have I read recently? I'm gonna try to do this chronologically and start with the ones that I read at the beginning of May and all the way up to the most recent ones. I read a book called The Rule Book by Sarah Adams, and she's a romance author, and she wrote, I think it was The Cheat Sheet, which I read years ago and was like, oh, this is delightful. It's a little like sports romance.
Cute.
And so The Rule Book is another extremely cute romance between a sports agent and an NFL star.
Oh, cute.
And so it's like she gets assigned this NFL star, and she's like, cool. I'm not gonna tell anyone that this is my ex from college.
Oh.
And they have to go to Vegas for some sports thing, and they're both like, yeah, we're not gonna tell anyone about our history or whatever, because then people will like talk, and then they get drunk and they get married in Vegas.
Perfect.
Because of course they do. Because they have no chill and all the chemistry, and neither one of them was, you know, actually wanted to break up in college.
Yeah.
But they didn't talk about it, so they don't realize that. And so they wake up married and they're like, okay, well, we're going to just pretend that this is a real relationship so that the media doesn't, like, jump down our throats.
Yeah.
And then, naturally, they have, like, incredible chemistry, and they've been in love for so long. And so it's delightful and adorable, and they're very, very cute together. That was another – it's one of those ones where, like – and I did this with The Cheat Sheet, too. I was like, I don't really care about sports that much. And then I read it, and I'm like, I suddenly care.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. This is very important to me.
Yeah, it is like you don't need to know anything about football. It's just their relationship, and it's extremely cute. And then I was delighted I got to read One Perfect Couple by Ruth Ware. I love Ruth Ware. I love her thrillers. She does that, like, cozy mystery but dark where, like, it's only cozy because it's, like, a locked room. Locked door mystery, right? Like, it has to be someone in this area. Like, she'll set it on a teeny tiny cruise ship where there's only 10 people, or at a bachelorette party, and it has to be one of them. And so this one is set on an island during there's a filming of a reality show.
Oh.
And so it's all these couples go to this island, and it's going to be like, you know, the top couple wins, and they're going to have to do all these kinds of like games and challenges.
Ooh,
and it's like Survivor, but with couples. And like people are voted off one at a time. So it's going to be like, there's going to be like couple switching throughout, which is like wild, right?
Yeah.
And the first night that they're there, there's like a hurricane. And all the power is knocked out, and like there's like trees down and all this stuff, and they like wake up the next morning and at least one person is dead, and it might not have been from the hurricane.
Ooh. Okay.
And then more people start dying,
and then there were none. Okay. Yeah,
it's so good and like very kind of cathartic at times, and especially when you find out who's doing it and why, and it's great.
Okay.
So that is really fun. If you love Ruth Ware like I do, you will love this one. It's everything you want a Ruth Ware novel to be. For the Jack of All Graves book club, we read Sisters of the Lost Nation by Nick Medina.
Oh, I've been, it looks very good. I have not gotten around to it yet.
It's a dark suspense novel. So like less horror, more just like kind of mysterious. And it is based on the very real tragedies of the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. And then there's all this like Native folklore kind of woven in. Cool. So it's liked it a lot. I listened to the audiobook of that one and I liked it a lot. So I would recommend that one if you want to read more Indigenous stories. Maybe you're like dipping a toe in horror, but you're not like totally down with horror. You just like a good suspense novel. It's a really good one. Yes. And then I read Lies and Weddings by Kevin Kwan.
Okay.
Oh my God, I love Kevin Kwan. I always forget how much I love Kevin Kwan. He wrote Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
And I just love his books because it's the same feeling I used to get as like a teenager watching soap operas and like
Fantastic.
Laguna Beach.
Yep.
Like I'm watching these absurd rich people and their dumb drama and like none of it is, there's no stakes here, right? Like to them it's super high stakes. To me it's like y'all are dumb. And he just, but you also like are so invested at the same time. Like you're so into their drama. So that's 100% what it's more of the same. It's these crazy rich Asians. It's just a wedding and there's like the matriarch of the family is psychotic and she like all of the everything that could go wrong is going wrong and she's blaming everyone except herself and there's like the sweet, you know, neighbor girl who's like kind of in love with this woman's son and but the matriarch is like, but she's not rich, you know what I mean? Like she's not of our caliber. It's just insane. It's wild. It's fun. And like, yeah, if you like Crazy Rich Asians, you will love Lies and Weddings. Like Kevin Kwan's the best. I love his books. One that I am so excited for. I finally got to read an advanced copy of American Rapture by C.J. Lead.
Ooh, oh my God. Yeah. You've been looking forward to that one. And it's such a good cover.
Oh, it's an incredible, like, neon, like, Catholicism but dark cover. So C.J. Lead wrote Mayfly, which I also loved, and I will remind listeners, that's one where she is Disneyland's Elsa by day and an American Psycho-style serial killer by night. Incredible.
Phenomenal.
So this one, oh man, this is a horror novel that is going to make you cry. You will sob through the ending of this book. It is so, it's so good, and I like haven't fully figured out my elevator pitch for it yet because on the surface it's a girl who's been raised in a super super religious sheltered home navigating the end of the world outside of this super religious home, and she's learning lots of things about how the world actually works. And meanwhile, the end of the world comes in the form of a lust plague.
Okay, sure. All right.
So, like, I think it's, what is it? It's like the second ring of hell, I think, in Dante's Inferno is lust. And so it's one of the rings of hell.
It's one of them.
I think it's the second one is lust. And so as I described it to my husband right before I handed him the ARC, I was like, yeah, it's like horny zombies. And let your mind race with that one. So like lots and lots of trigger warnings. There's lots of sexual assault here, but like it's the horny zombies doing it. So that's kind of the basic plot, but like there's so much more to it. It's a novel about first love. It's a novel about religious trauma. It's a novel about things that the church, capital C, will overlook in the under the guise of you know, forwarding their own message.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh God, it is rough. It is rough, and our main character is navigating all kinds of things. Her twin brother was like taken forcibly from their home because their parents found out he is gay. And so our main character is like grappling with that because she's like, did I do everything I could to, like, could I have done more to keep him here? Could I have saved him? She doesn't know where he is.
Ugh.
Right? It's the end of the world is happening, and she's like desperately trying to find him, and she's kind of grappling with realizing that maybe the way she was raised is not correct. Maybe all of the things that she's been told are not true.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's suddenly viewing her parents in a new light, and she's viewing her, like, the members of the church she has gone to her whole life in a whole new light. And it is really, really deep and difficult and tough and, like, beautiful. It's written so beautifully. And, yeah, the ending made me cry. And it's great. I say all that. It is great. It is such a good book. It's really cathartic. I use that word a lot, but it's like, yeah. I feel like in horror, you get a lot of catharsis.
It's true.
And this is, you know, more of that. And I just, I mean, CJ Lead really came out swinging with this one.
Awesome.
And I can't wait for people to read it. So my husband's reading it right now. And he started it and then like blinked and he was like a third of the way through. And I was like, yeah, it goes like that. It is kind of a one sitting read. It's super super good. So that one comes out, oh gosh, I think like this fall or something. That it comes out this year.
Yeah, definitely this year.
But
I don't know.
It's not soon. I think it's a fall release. But so definitely keep an eye out for that one because whoo boy, it is intense and phenomenal. On the complete opposite side of that, I read another romance. I read The Roommate Risk by Talia Hibbert. I love Talia Hibbert.
Yeah.
She's great. I just love her romance novels. They're all five stars. Like she writes chemistry so well. She writes characters so well. And, this one is, it's Friends to Lovers. Mm-hmm. It's best friends from college end up temporarily living together because, like, one of them is, like, her room that, like, her bedroom at her apartment flooded and, like, her roommate just, like, straight up didn't move any of her stuff out of her room. She just kind of went, like, oh, no, it's flooding. And, like, she's, like, you didn't move anything? She's like, oh, I didn't know what to do. She's like, you didn't move anything? Like, all of my stuff is destroyed. So she goes to live with her best friend from college. They had, like, one fling in college. And then basically she was like, I don't sleep with my friends. And, like, I don't really date. We can either be friends or we can hook up, like, it's up to you. And he was like, well, I would rather be your friend because you're amazing. So they've just been friends for like a decade, but he's been in love with her that whole time. And just is like, I will do whatever I can to save this friendship because I would rather be like in love with her from afar than like not have her at all. But she's also like super attracted to him, and so they kind of break their rule a little bit and become like friends with benefits. They have a lot of conversations ahead of time, so they like set the boundaries of like, this is not going to ruin our friendship. Like, this is we're establishing new boundaries. And then basically she has a lot of work to do on herself. Like, she's got a lot of childhood trauma to deal with, a lot of kind of just self-work. And he waits for her. And like, it's really sweet. It's like nice. Really, and so, yeah, it's a romance novel, so obviously they have a happily ever after, and like, it's very sweet, and it doesn't get like too bogged down in her trauma. It's just sort of like, yeah, you have things to work on. Mm-hmm. You should see a therapist, maybe.
Yeah,
your mom left when you were a kid. That messed up your idea of relationships.
Yeah,
but that like doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
it's something you can
very,
work on.
It's very nice. Cute. It's a very cute romance. I read another book by Delilah S. Dawson. So last month I talked about Guillotine, which is the Eat the Rich fantasy.
I need to read more of
God.
Yeah.
So this one is called It Will Only Hurt for a Moment.
Mm.
I think it comes out either the month before or the month after Guillotine.
Okay.
She is crushing books right now.
Yeah.
And I honestly want Delilah S. Dawson to, like, teach a masterclass in writing revenge stories.
Okay.
Because, like, where Guillotine is, like, the staff of this uber, uber rich, awful family rising up and taking revenge and murdering everyone. It's amazing. It Will Only Hurt for a Moment is women taking revenge on the men who have wronged them.
Okay, great.
So it is set at this, like, artist's retreat where it's, like, this old, like, historic hotel where, like, mm-hmm. rich couples would go for, like, a honeymoon or whatever. There was, like, a spa. It was, like, the whole thing, right? And our dear sweet main character, like, she's just trying to escape her abusive ex. She, like, goes to this place. She is an artist but hasn't been able to practice art in years because he wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, she's like, okay, if I go here, like, there's no service. Like, he can't find me. I'm safe.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to, like, lose myself in my pottery and, like, it's going to be great. Unfortunately, she just keeps finding corpses and skeletons.
Good.
And,
solid.
And she keeps having these weird nightmares or maybe visions, and, like, maybe she's channeling a ghost sometimes. She starts to uncover some of the deeply toxic history of this old hotel.
Okay.
And essentially, I won't give away what it was, but there were some horrible men who did horrible things to the women who dared to defy them. And this book is, again, it's like kind of, it's like rough, like it's rough topics, but it is such sweet revenge that there was, I messaged Delilah and I was like, so I read this particular scene and then I went back and read it again slowly so I could savor it. And she was like, excellent.
Incredible.
Yeah, super, super good. I really loved it. So I would say both of her books coming out this fall, It Will Only Hurt for a Moment and Guillotine, are both, like, if you want just, like, revenge stories, just, like, really cathartic, really bloody revenge stories, like, go for Delilah S. Dawson. She's killing it. And then the last one that I read in May was Evocation by S.T. Gibson.
Oh, yes, yes.
So we have an event coming up this summer with St. Gibson. And she was just on the podcast. So that was the one episode that got released in May was my really fun chat with St. Evocation is, it's an urban fantasy with a polyamorous subplot.
Cute.
It's set in Boston. It's got, like, really good magic in it. There's, like, a demonic possession deal with the devil thing happening in the in like the family of the main character. It is really, really fun. It like dips a toe into darkness. Like it flirts with darkness, but it's not, I wouldn't necessarily call it dark. Okay. Like, as I said to our coworker Elizabeth, I was like, Elizabeth, I think you could read this book.
Yeah. Which, if you know anything about Elizabeth, means most people could read it. Yeah. It's darkness that pretty much anyone can handle.
Exactly. It's darkness in the way that, like, a normal fantasy has darkness, yeah. Not like a dark fantasy.
Yeah.
And I'd clarify that because St. Kipson has written some horror.
Yeah.
So this is not that. This is an urban fantasy with some romance and, like, a little bit of darkness, but it's really not. It's not scary or anything like that. It's very sweet. I love these characters a lot. It was really fun, like, spending time in this world, and especially knowing that this is going to be a series.
Oh,
she's
nice.
Already working on the others. So, like, really fun. There were, like, a couple of names mentioned toward the end, which I'm like, oh, I wonder if those are characters who will get their own books later in the series. Oh. Like, because I know that's how she's setting it up. It's like, other characters will be the central characters, so I'm very much looking forward to the rest of the series. I also will say that anyone who comes to our event in July will receive a super special hot pink dust jacket for their copy of Evocation. It is the
perfect
2024 tour jacket.
I love that.
It's so pretty. It's so pretty. It's so cute. They like... I think they released it. I don't even know if they sent them out or if they just made it as like a joke for Valentine's Day.
Oh.
And people loved it so much that they were like, oh, okay.
Okay,
so,
I guess we're doing this.
So I will say our event is not ticketed, but I would request that if you are planning to come to our event, if you could go ahead and find that on Facebook and RSVP to it so that we know how many of the dust jackets to request. We want to make sure that everyone who comes gets one. We don't want to be like short a few because we estimated wrong. Yeah. So there are links like on the event page and like in our link tree on Gibson's Instagram, all that, like there's links to the Facebook page. So like if you think you might be able to make it, just RSVP yes so that we can make sure we have enough dust jackets because everyone's going to want this when they see it. And then I'm currently reading a few. So one that I've been reading for a little while, I actually brought it to London with me and, like, took pictures of myself reading it, like, at the Tower of London. And the author was like, oh, my God. So that one is called The Redemption of Morgan Bright. It's by Chris Panettiere. Oh, my God. This book is great.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So this was a book that... literally, Clay McLeod Chapman texted me and said, you need to read this. And I was like, okay, all right. And so I picked it up and I'm reading it and he's right. So the basic plot is that a woman, Morgan Bright, voluntarily checks herself into this asylum called Hollyhock under a false identity because she wants to find out what happened to her sister.
Oh, okay.
Her sister was found dead on the side of the road near the asylum, and she knows that her sister had been in this, in Hollyhock before she died. So she's like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. So she goes in there and unfortunately what happens is this fake persona that she's created, like, takes over.
Oh,
seemingly as a trauma response to things that are happening in this asylum.
Okay.
And so she comes to, Morgan Bright comes to, and she's in, like, a police station giving a statement because something has happened, and now she's out of Hollyhock, and they're, like, very confused because they had just been talking to Charlotte. And now all of a sudden she's saying her name is Morgan.
Oh,
and they're
no.
like, what's going on? And so she starts to piece together things that are based on things that she remembers. And then, like, Charlotte will come forward and tell her side of things. And so, like, they're piecing together this timeline of what happened when Morgan entered Hollyhock. And, like, Charlotte would like rise to the surface and like live as Charlotte, and then like when something happened that she didn't want to do, like then she'd push Morgan back to the surface, and Morgan would like come to and be like, how can I get here? Like, yeah. Huh. Yeah. The crazy thing, more crazy than that, is that like this asylum, like you're reading it and you're getting the vibe of like this was like the 50s, right? They're doing like awful torture to women, right? No, it's present day. And somehow, this Hollyhock House, which had previously been closed because people died, just kind of quietly reopened as this, like, wonderful retreat for women who are experiencing, like, hysteria. And, like, yeah, yeah. It is so, like... upsetting. Like you realize it in like chapter two that you're like you see like an excerpt, like text message excerpts, and you're like oh god, wait, this is like now,
this is text message time.
And so yeah, it is really, really fascinating to read. You're getting, again, it's like just pieces of like what Morgan as Charlotte is experiencing in Hollyhock, and then it will flash to, you'll see like text message conversations between her and her sister before her sister went missing, or I guess she didn't go missing, but before she died, before she went to Hollyhock. And then you're getting like Morgan slash Charlotte sitting in the police station, like talking to the cops, and like it'll be like partway through the conversation, and then the cop will be like, oh, you're Charlotte. Okay. Like, even they like can't quite, because she's just like
going
back and forth. It is really, really, it's a fascinating read, and I am loving it. And it does seem to be handling DID in a correct manner, I guess, in a sensitive manner, because it is treated as, it is a trauma response. It is not just like, ah, she's crazy. It's like, no, she experienced some trauma. And so
there's
she
a reason
had,
why this is.
She already had created this persona just to fly under the radar. And so her mind latched onto it and was like, oh, I'll kind of take that. And like, yeah. So she's, it is really good. Really dark. It was wild to be reading that and It Will Only Hurt for a Moment at the same time, because it was like very similar, like terrible things happening to women who didn't like vibe by society's rules. Like,
interesting. Ugh, yeah.
Gross. So there's that one. And then I just started two others. Small Town Horror by Ronald Malfi, which... if you're listening to this, it's out.
Fantastic.
It comes out a couple days after we record this. This was another one that I was at a horror convention, and Clem and Clyde Chapman, I guess, is my go-to guy for recommendations.
Yeah,
because
clearly
he, I was hanging out with Clay, and Ronald Malfi wandered over to say hi, and as I stood there, Clay just gushed about Small Time Horror to Ronald Malfi. Like, I watched him just like fanboy over Ronald Malfi. And now reading it, I totally get why. I would say, like, if you liked Clay's book, What Kind of Mother, if you liked the like the setting of that one.
Oh, okay.
That kind of like Southern Gothic. Like very like briny seaside, like Virginia, like Roanoke setting. Okay. That's like kind of where this one also takes place. And I would also say, like, take that and take like the second half of It, where the adults come back.
Okay.
And like, that's kind of the vibe. So I'm not super, super far into it, but what I've gotten so far is that something happened when this group of friends were teenagers. Someone died. and it's their fault, but I don't know if it was an accident, if they killed someone. I don't know yet, but someone died. And now, as adults, each member of this group of friends is, like, seeing, maybe it's visions, maybe it's a nightmare, maybe it's a ghost, they're not quite sure, but, like, this person seems to be coming back and wants to cause harm to them. And the main character moved away from this town years ago, and he's, like, a hotshot lawyer in New York now.
Mm-hmm.
One of them convinces him to come back, and so he does, and he's now trying to grapple with, like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, do I have to stay and, like, fight something? Like, what's happening? And also, like, they're, like, the stakes are pretty high, because he's like, well, if whatever we did gets out, like, we'll all be ruined, basically. And he's left behind his extremely pregnant wife, and he hasn't told her where he is, and he hasn't told anyone here that he has a pregnant wife. So I'm sure that'll come up at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, super dark, super, like, visceral, and very, very, very creepy. I'm loving it so far. So that's Small Town Horror by Ronald Malvi. And then the last one that I just started last night, and I'm already loving it, is called We Came to Welcome You.
Oh, you were telling me about this. Vincent Tirado.
Oh, man. This book, what a vibe. So as far as I can tell, it's about a black woman and her Korean wife. Maybe versus the homeowners association.
Perfect. In love their new an evil home. Homeowners association.
100%. Like, where I'm at, I mean, I may be 10% of the way through. They have just moved into their new home. The black woman, something happened at her job. She was, I believe, a scientist, and, like, something happened at the lab, and so she, like, no longer has that job, and it's a touchy subject.
Yeah.
Her wife is in, like, marketing or networking or something. Like, she's honestly, like, I'm not quite sure what she does, but she makes six figures, yeah. So, like, you know, she's doing all right, whatever she's doing. They've just bought this house and are moving in. And they are, welcomed by the extremely white homeowners association. These, like, three people who, like, drop off, like, a gift basket. And, like, one of them, you know, one of the women is like, so, but we don't, like, it's not, like, required to join. Like, we were told it's not required to join the homeowners association. And the HOA is just kind of like, well, yeah, I mean,
technically.
But, like, why wouldn't you want to?
And sounds very Stepford. Like, it's
they just were going through the gift basket and, like, pulled out this thing that, like, kind of looks like a coaster. They're not quite sure what it is, and it has this, like, image stamped on it, and, like, the one of them is like, does this neighborhood have, like, a logo? Like, is this a cult? What's happening? And, yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. I already, like, the vibes are immaculate. I love, like, an evil HOA, because often they are evil. HOAs are often very terrible. Any of the ones I've come across have been awful. And I love that it's queer, it's diverse, and it's moving very quickly. I don't think it's very long.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, a kind of, you know, maybe 300 pages at most.
Yeah.
So it's moving along at a fast clip, and I can't wait to see what horrors await, because the cover is a woman holding, like, a homemade, it looks like maybe, like, a cherry pie. It's got that, like, lattice.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you look at it, there's, like, things crawling out of the pie. And I'm like, nice. I'm here for this.
Yeah.
I'm so here for this. Like, give it to me. I'm ready. So, yeah. So that's We Came to Welcome You by Vincent Tirado, and that comes out later this year.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your turn.
It's my turn. I've been reading a lot of very short books because May was pretty chaotic for me, yeah. So yeah, but I have, but they've been pretty good. The first thing I read in May was Brides of High Hill by Nevo, which is the next, I think it might be the fifth one in the Singing Hills cycle. Wow. I'm not, could be fourth. I'm bad at keeping track of things, but yeah, which is a series I like so much, and I've talked about it on here before. It's a great series that doesn't have to be read in order if you don't want to. And this one was by far my favorite. Ooh. Like, so, so good. It has some Bluebeard vibes to it.
Ooh.
It's, like, I think you might like it. Like, you maybe should read it and see how,
okay.
Like, I think it's something that, like, you know, you'll have, if you read the other books, you'll have, like, a tiny bit more context, but not significantly. You can certainly, pick it up from there. It's just the same. It follows the same monk who's collecting stories across.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
In this fantasy world. And yeah, so it was really good. I read that one in like one sitting. I really liked it. I then finally listened to The City We Became by N.K.
Yes!
Jemisin, which Ryan's been telling me to read for 4 years. Now,
I'm so excited.
And it was very, very good.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it while I was in New York, which was appropriate.
Incredible.
Yeah. And so for anybody who does not remember Ryan gushing about this book, it is a book in which people become the personification of different New York City boroughs. And this is a thing that happens to cities when they reach a certain point in their cycle of being a city, basically, and potentially has to do with any threats to the city as well. Mm-hmm. And so the five boroughs have to come together and figure out how to defeat this otherworldly horror that has come to New York City. And it's very Lovecraftian.
Yeah, it is.
It's, yeah, lots of tentacles, lots of really very New York things. Like, it just, I really loved it. It's so specific about particular neighborhoods in New York in a way that's like, if you've spent any amount of time in New York, it's just, it's yeah. like a love letter to New York while also like calling New York out on its nonsense. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really well done. And I'm looking forward to reading the sequel.
Yes.
And I'm glad I finally have read an N.K. Jemisin book because I've been wanting to read one of her books, but a lot of her others are like a little too high sci-fi or high fantasy for me.
Yeah,
and this
was
an urban
fantasy,
and this is really
one to start with.
Much more my speed.
Yeah.
So I really like that one.
And how good is that audiobook?
Oh, the audio is so, so good. It's
amazing.
Yeah, it's a full cast audiobook, and there are like just enough like sound effects to be atmospheric without sounding corny.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
worked
really subtle.
Yeah.
And it works so well.
It worked really well.
I think it's still to this day, I think it's the best audiobook I've ever listened to.
Yeah. I can see that.
So glad you liked it.
It was so good. Yeah. So maybe by next month I will have read the sequel, which,
if it makes you feel better, I haven't read the sequel yet.
That's fair.
I haven't had it as an audiobook and I want to listen to it. So
that is completely reasonable. I ended up using a Libro FM credit on the audiobook
because
I kept requesting it from the library, and then I was finally listening to it and running out of time, and I was like, all right, I guess it's time.
Yeah.
I also read Woodworm by Leila Martinez, which is translated from Spanish by Sophie Hughes and Annie McDermott. This is a spooky house book.
Ooh, I love those.
Yes. And it is a weird one.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it is about a grandmother and her granddaughter who live in a haunted house where they are just very much used to the hauntings. Mm-hmm. It's just a thing that happens. It's annoying. Mm-hmm. And they deal with it and move on. They are extremely Catholic. They have lots of pictures of, like, saints and angels up, which they find these images kind of cute and funny because that's not what angels look like. Angels look like giant praying mantises.
Oh, my God, amazing.
Don't you know? So it's just this weird off-kilter world, and it's alternating chapters between the grandmother and the granddaughter's perspective. Ooh. And they're both calling the other one a liar throughout.
Oh.
And the book takes place immediately after the granddaughter has been accused of some terrible crime.
Ooh.
And you don't know what that is until the book unfolds. And it's a very short, I listened to it, so I'm not sure. No, I read it. I did read it. It was like 200, 250 pages.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a pretty short little book. I read it in one day. And it's, yeah, and it's a little bit more literary. Like, I think we have it in our fiction section. So, like, if you're not a horror person, I think it's still a good. It's just creepy and weird and, yeah, off-kilter is
cool.
The best way to describe it. I also read River Mama by Zalika Reed Benta, which is about a girl who lives in Toronto who she is just at that point that I can relate to of having finished graduate school, you know, has all these degrees and can't find a job. She's living with her parents. Her mom is constantly on her case about basically everything. She is just annoyed. She is running into all of her friends from grad school or undergrad, and they're like, oh, I have this incredible job in publishing, or I have this or that. And she is done. She works at, I don't know if it's named, I can't, but like a Gap sort of store. Okay. Like it's retail clothing. And one night when she's coming home from a party with her coworkers, who she's not like really friends with, but she, you know, needs to spend time with other people who are not like constantly talking about their incredible job and their six-figure salary. Yeah. She runs into, she is visited by the Jamaican deity, River Mama, and she is Jamaican, her family is, and River Mama asks her to recover a comb that has been stolen from her and taken to Toronto. And she has 24 hours to do it, or River Mama is going to leave the world and all of her rivers are going to dry up.
Oh my God.
So get on that.
High stakes.
High stakes. And so it's a book set in 24 hours. And
amazing.
About them tracking down this comb, and it's really good, enjoyable characters, very, you know, that kind of I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah. Love that.
Feeling.
Relatable.
Love it. I listened to Whalefall by Elizabeth O'Connor, which is freshly out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that just
last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's new.
It's a very short, it was like a 3-hour audiobook. It is set on an isolated Welsh island in between World War I and World War II. They're like starting to see World War II coming. I think it's like 34, 35-ish. Okay. And two things happen simultaneously. One, a whale washes up on the shore, and people think it is an omen of something. And two, British people come to do basically like an anthropological study of this island and like this, you know, untouched land of people and like their customs and their things. And it is about a young girl who is pulled into this work, she's going to translate from Welsh into English for them.
Got it.
And, you know, becomes entangled with both of them, mm-hmm. and their ideals and their perspectives that are perhaps not great. You know, these ideas of the untouched British countryside coinciding with fascist ideology is not an uncommon one, and it is a very interesting, like, coming of age, but simultaneously this story about what was happening in Europe in this interwar period.
Wow, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's a very well-written historical fiction. Again, brand new. I also listened to Your Utopia by Bora Chung, translated from Korean by Anton Her, which Bora Chung wrote Cursed Bunny, which is a collection of short stories which was shortlisted for the International Booker Prize a couple years ago, and I've been meaning to read it, but we had an advanced listening copy of Your Utopia. It came out earlier this year, so I decided to listen to it, and it's really, really good. I think you would really like it.
Oh, awesome.
It's a collection of short stories. They are hard to categorize. There are some that are absolutely horror, some that are like speculative fiction, some that are more magical realism. It kind of goes across the board. A lot of it has to do with technology, and like most of it is set in the future, but what specifically is happening varies from story to story, and it's somehow manages to be very eclectic and also really cohesive.
Cool.
If that's
a way. Yeah.
And again, it's a short book, but yeah, I think Bora Chung is on the rise, and I think is going to continue to have some really interesting, deeply weird books coming out. And I love that.
Incredible.
I finally listened to A House with Good Bones by T. Kingfisher, which I had an arc of from like last year. And I'll be honest, judging a book by its cover, what got me to read it finally is that the paperback just came out and it has a phenomenal cover. Yes. It is two vultures that are like made out of roses.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And it is perfect for the book. So it is about a woman in her 30s who she is an archaeologist, and her site, there's like, they find human remains, they have to bring in other people to like deal with it because that's not her area of expertise. So she's on furlough, but she's already sublet her own apartment, so she's like, I'll just go stay with my mom for a little bit. And the house her mom lives in used to belong to her grandmother, and her grandmother was a racist old white lady from the South, and she was very intense and was not a great person to be around or live with when she was a child. But she died, she left them a house, they repainted it all these bright colors, they like changed everything, and it's now, you know, a much better space. But when she moves back, she notices her mom has repainted everything the like white off-white colors that it was when her grandmother owned it, and has put up a old like lost cause Confederate painting that her grandmother had over the mantle instead of like this thing that she grew up with. And she's just like, what's going on? The neighbor's vulture colony that lives in her backyard is just like watching the house all the time.
Oh my God.
And the neighbor is just like, yeah, they want to watch your house. And she's like, why? What is happening? Why? And there is a gorgeous rose garden that her grandmother was very proud of that it is continuing to grow and bloom, but no one takes care of it.
Oh, it's no. Just
continuing to be this like world-class rose garden, but nobody has touched it since the grandmother died. And Sam does not know what is going on and thought this was just going to be like, let's chill, I'll spend some time with my mother. and that is very much not what she gets. So it's really good. It's a really good like creepy house book again.
Yes.
And that, like, dealing with family relationships and that kind of, like, going back to your childhood home and what all that means and brings up for all of us.
Wow.
I love T. Kingfisher. I've only read two of her books, but I really love. Yeah. Just creepy. A lot of, like, I don't know, botanical. Like, the last book, What Moves the Dead, had a lot of, like, mushroom spore sort of stuff. This is a lot of like roses and birds and like natural horror
elements. And I also read I want to say it was Hollow Places, which is again like kind of otherworldly creepy plant type things like infiltrating and
so I'd be interested to know what that like why that's a theme that she keeps returning to, but I really liked
Very
it.
Cool.
I also just finished, like, this morning before work, the audiobook of Horror Movie by Paul Tremblay, which comes out in a few weeks. I can't remember the exact date.
June 11th, maybe?
Yeah, it's like, a week or two from now.
Yeah, June 11th.
June 11th. And it was very good. And I listened to the audiobook. It's a full cast audiobook. There are, again, sound effects, but in a way that is effective and not, you know, over the top. And because sometimes that can take you out of it if it doesn't really sound like what's happening. You'll be like, oh, okay, well, that could have been scary. But no, this is...
I'm looking at you, Lord of the Rings full cast audiobook from like 1990 whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. They're just those ones that stand out in your mind where you're like, oh god. The ones that like do footfalls every time. Like, okay, we don't have
it's not
to
a radio play. Like I don't need like the door slams.
No, so it's a really well done audiobook, and the book itself is so good. It's so like it's just engrossing. Like you can't stop. You need to know what's happening. I like was listening to it at 2 a.m. last night.
My gosh.
I was just like sitting there playing like a little phone game and listening to it.
It's
about a cursed movie. It is about a man who was in the original movie that never quite got finished, but some of it got leaked online, and now it's being remade. And so it coincides with him telling the story of the remake, him telling the story of the original, as well as excerpts from the script. And this movie is weird, and you don't understand what's happening until you do, and then it's dark. It's really, I really, really enjoyed it, and it was a very quick read, but really well done, and like very much Blair Witch Project, which is one of my all-time favorite horror movies, like not in context, but like, I don't know, this, like,
vibe,
this, like, you know, online, not very 90s homemade horror movie.
Like, I definitely recommend it for, like, if you liked even just the vibe of Skinamarink. It has strong Skinamarink vibes.
Some scenes that are just, like,
like, The Ring.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, vibes with the cursed film from The Ring. Like, it's
that weird and that like lines between reality and the movie being blurred. And so I really, really liked it, and this was my first Paul Tremblay, and I'm quite
incredible,
quite pleased with it.
What a great job, one to Paul. Start with. Oh my goodness.
And that is like, you had read it, and then our coworker Sam had also read it, and she was like, no, Joe, this is really good. And I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, I'll move it up. You both are like, no, you need to read this, okay.
Yeah, I love this book. Paul Tremblay, as I teased last episode, but now can confirm, Paul Tremblay will be here on June 25th alongside Ooh. Eric LaRocca and John Durgan. It's going to be a whole, like, New England horror author fest. We're going to have a great time. They all have recent books out, and oh my god, yeah, horror movie is terrifying.
Yeah. And it's so very New England. Like, yeah. There's one point, like, in the first chapter where a character references us going to Lake Winnipesaukee. I'm like, that's where I am now! While I'm listening to this, I'm looking at Lake Winnipesaukee. Oh my god!
That's amazing. You know.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that one a lot.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Delightful.
And that's basically what I've been reading. I mean, I'm also reading Sense and Sensibility, but I don't need to keep talking about Jane Austen on here all the time. Fair. I'll update you at the end of the month, see if I finished it, if I've moved on to the next. Who knows?
Wonderful. Fantastic. Yeah. I love it. Cool. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any other, really the only event I really wanted to mention was the horror one. That's this month.
That's the one coming up. Coming up.
So please come to that. We're going to have a really good time.
I do want to mention Prismatic. I know because we're at the beginning of June.
Yes.
So our Prismatic Reads program, for anyone who's not familiar, is where people can either purchase a book or donate towards a gift card that will be used to buy books. For us to give away to teenagers, it is all queer books. We try to keep a really diverse selection. So when you donate money, that is really helpful too, because that can let us be like, okay, we need more asexual books or more protagonists of color or whatever. So both are really, really helpful. If you purchase a book for Prismatic in the month of June, you can get 20% off that book. Mm-hmm. And that we can do that online as well.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. When you're purchasing a book, just say in the order notes which book is for Prismatic Reads, and we will apply a 20% discount to that book.
Yeah. And you can also make a donation to the gift card either in-store or online. Mm-hmm. And we can give you stamps for that donation. And we've given out over 200 books. Kids love the program. They come back, they thank us for it a lot. We've had a lot of really good interactions, and it makes kids feel a lot more welcome here. They just knowing that we're like, hey, we're looking out for you. And you know, a lot of teenagers don't have a lot of money to spend, so it lets them get a book from the bookstore.
You know, because I think it's one thing to, like, say that we're a safe space.
Yeah.
But, you know, this shows that, no, you really are. You're safe here. You're welcome here. And, like, you know, we are so happy to have you here. And here are books that you can see yourself in.
Yeah. And if you are not a teenager and you want book recommendations, any queer book recommendations, let us know. I've had so many people come up to me to be like, I have a weird question. And it's like, do you have any books about trans women? And I'm like, that's not a weird question. Yes, absolutely, I do. And then I'm like, okay, I have two. And then I'm like, oh, and that one, and then that one, and that. And, like, we had somebody today who bought Brain Worms, who was like, yes. I think you recommended this to me last year. And I was like, yes, it was probably me. I love this. Looking for trans horror. I absolutely have that. Like, we have all the genres. We can give you some recommendations for yourself or other people or whatever.
Yes, and I will say that Joe and a couple of our other coworkers just updated our bookmarks that have queer recommendations on them. So those are at the registers. Come in and take a look at those.
And we have a brand new bookmark, too.
Yes, we do.
We have a polyamorous polyamory bookmark.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So that was coming from our coworker, Fel, who was really advocating for that. Yeah. And we will be continuing to add to it. If you have any recommendations to go on it, please let us know, because it's not always in the book descriptions, and if we haven't read it personally. But yeah, we have a whole lot of new recommendations on there, and it'll be great. We spent so much time cutting those out. Please come take them. Please come take them.
And they're beautiful.
And yes, thank you so much to both Kate and Fel for helping me so much with that process.
Yes. Shout out to Kate and Fel. We also, you know, stop into the bookstore. We have a ton of Pride displays up so right many. Now. We've got a display of all queer books across different genres. So queer, sci-fi, horror, fantasy, romance, mystery. And then we've got a whole display about the colors of the original Pride flag.
Yes. So this is my baby. And I love it. Please somebody shop it. I need validation on this, because I've been pitching this for a few years and finally I was like, I'm going to do it. But each of the colors from the Pride flag has a meaning, and the original Pride flag had 8 colors. So there is a book recommendation for each of those, the meanings behind each of those colors. And some of them are really fun. There's sunlight and magic.
Spirit.
Life.
Yeah, they're great.
And it's fun. So please come shop that.
Yes.
And we have an indie press. Queer indie press.
So
queer books from an indie press. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so a display that features queer books that were published by indie presses. Those are just the ones that are currently on the adult side. I know the kids side has a ton of Pride displays up right now.
Yes. Yeah, they did a lot of that today. Love it.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
so please come in. Yeah, so if you want some really good queer books, all the time is the right time to come in, because we always have really good recommendations. But right now, they're all on display.
On top of it.
So please come in and browse them and buy them and celebrate Pride with us. Okay. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we did it.
So a quick reminder about our partnership with Libra FM. Listeners who are new to Libra FM can receive 2 digital audiobooks for the price of 1 credit using the code LAYDOWN at checkout when they start a new membership. Also, stay tuned for some kind of cool, maybe a promotion or something from Libra FM celebrating their 10th anniversary. And maybe we'll have some Libra FM giveaways. Stay tuned.
This is the first I'm hearing about this, listeners.
Yeah, so stay tuned. All right. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. For a shoppable list of all the books we've discussed during this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Rolls right off the tongue. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on most of them, and all of those links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye!